Welcome to the first Big River Solutions podcast. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams, and in this show, we're going to be talking about the discounters. Shopping habits are changing. The big supermarket brands are in danger of becoming unwanted items in their own bagging area and are struggling to deal with their upstart European rivals. So what does all this mean for the future of the consumer goods industry? To help me make sense of the issues and spot some likely trends, I'm joined by Rebecca Ross, Simon Spicer, and Jenny Munro, part of the Big River Solutions team. So what's the great attraction of Aldi and Lidl? Is it just price?
I think it might have started off as price many years ago, but actually over time, customers have become a lot more savvy about the fact the ranges of products that you can buy there are interesting and they're tasty. And also I think that they have got a bigger understanding of value for money, and that the range development over the years has improved their overall shopping experience. And no, it's not just about price anymore.
What we've seen from shoppers is it's an evolution. An entry point for me is they start to shop maybe non-food goods, you know, because probably brand maybe is less important. So they go in and non-food, and that's where they start to build a repertoire. They start to get to know different products and different brands. And from there, they move into kind of the more staple products and then into fresh food. And certainly that's what we, you know, we've been experiencing.
I think that they do a really good job down the middle aisles with all the non-food items. So you can go and buy ski gear or sandals or towels, whatever is in season. But the idea of them having these dump bins down the middle of the shop is pulling in an audience where people are talking about that in the local area. They go for those items, and then when they get there, they think, oh, I might try some ham, or I might try a pizza, or I might see what the Coke tastes like.
I think in the last recession, a lot of shoppers changed their habits and what they were doing and where they were shopping, and probably did more experimentation with what's the difference between an own label and a branded product in the big grocers. And I think that having tried a lot of these products and realized maybe in some cases the own label will do the job, or you can get away with it. And companies were very, very much pushing, like Sainsbury's were pushing, having, why not compare the difference? You can save if you buy your own label. And then from this conditioning of own label is fine, or not having the branded good is fine. And then when the discounters were starting to get more serious and grow, then shoppers are actually more open to the idea of trying.
So I was thinking then, when you were talking about own label, about actually the products that are destination products for customers to go to the discounters. So, for example, their heritage in Europe would make them a good place to go and buy saucisson or Belgian chocolates, because they've got these massive, this massive experience about what makes a good Belgian chocolate, and it's probably a more authentic purchase than buying an own label brand in one of the big retailers. So actually, their credentials of in those particular areas, so cheese or foreign meat, continental meats, would actually be a big positive for customers to go and buy them in the discounters.
Of course, Aldi got very high awards and accolades for some of the product categories, including cheese. And if you have something that's hero that makes people think, oh, wow, if they're leading and they have a reputation for being good on price as well, it's worth a try.
You think of categories such as cheese and meat, they're in some respects fresh food or chilled, which gives a halo effect then to maybe some of the other categories that, you know, aren't so exciting, like the non-food or the staple, and brings them in kind of that way.
So taking all this on board and the forecast showing no sign of a slowdown in the rise of the discounters, how worried should the Big Four be?
I think from having done lots and lots of store visits and on a range of categories, to me, the Big Four have very similar ranges, very similar propositions. They compete really heavily with each other on price, so they almost discount each other for having that competitive advantage. And the reason why Waitrose at one end in the premium and then Aldi and Lidl at the other are being successful is actually you have so many choices of where to go shopping within a 10-minute drive from your house now that you didn't have maybe sort of 20 years ago. And actually, shopping in these different stores does feel a bit different. If you go into a Sainsbury's and a Tesco, maybe they're a little bit too similar.
And discounters have also got a lot smarter about how they are selling to customers. So the way the shopping habits are changing in in this country where we're moving to much more frequent smaller shops, because the Aldi and Lidl and the other discounters are popping up in more locations. It's part of your drive to go past one or several of them. So they're naturally in your portfolio out of curiosity to start with, maybe.
I wouldn't underestimate the recommendation piece as well. So we saw that in Ireland, certainly, that, you know, I buy something in Aldi or Lidl, I really like it as a product, and I recommend it to my friend or the neighbour, and it has a ripple effect. And suddenly, you know, people going are buying products because they've been recommended. So you see the baskets are getting bigger and bigger because people are either being recommended or, you know, more comfortable with the brands.
Talking about shopping habits, are consumers getting bored with the weekly shop? Is everything really changing?
I think some of the work I was doing 20 years ago, looking at how could supermarkets evolve, and we were talking then about, can you make it more entertainment, more theatre-based? Could you go in for a meal solution with a chef and get recommendations and have everything, you know, lovingly created, either made for you in store to take away sneakily, or actually the right recommendations and everything all in one place? That seemed like a great idea. And, you know, if you look at Carrefour and what they do in continental Europe, they have that kind of thing going on. You can go in and you can buy sushi. You can go in and actually, you know, see how to cook dishes in the larger stores. I think with the rise of online and, you know, that aspect, to actually, why do you want to go into a store to push your trolley around and around all the aisles? Well, actually, if you've got some inspiration and some help in there, maybe that makes it more interesting.
But equally, what shoppers have said about the discounters is they like the fact that there's less of a range, so it's less of a complex shop. There's less promotions, so people don't have to do a lot of sums in their head. If they go into one Aldi and the next Aldi, in theory or in general, the blueprint is the same. So as a shop, it's a less complicated shop for them. They find it just that little bit easier. So simplicity is, you know, what is also attracting shoppers, I think.
I get that completely. I mean, people deselect before they start selecting. So if you're pushing a trolley around, you go, I don't have any pets, I don't need to go down the pet food aisle. And actually, I prefer going into a smaller format store, even though it has slightly less range, because I know I can get in and out more quickly.
But as the larger stores or the bigger retailers have started to develop their theatre and create shops within shops, they've sort of taken their eye off the ball in looking after all the housekeeping business of, you know, they're battering each other up on price. But actually, they've not really noticed that the ranges and prices that the discounters are able to offer has only been enhanced by the fact that they've now made their shopping environments better. So you can have a really brilliant shopping experience in Aldi, partly to your point, Jenny, about the fact that it's clearer and easier and more sensible to shop, but also the environment that they're in. They're clean, a lot of them are new, and there's not the same stigma, I suppose you'd say, in going and doing your shop in something that was once actually not that nice a shopping environment.
Absolutely not. I mean, we've certainly seen in Ireland that the discounters now cross across all demographics. So it's not just, you know, a certain demographic that maybe, you know, were entry point and started to shop there. It's now covering kind of all walks of life, all demographics, which is quite interesting.
Do you think there's been any impact on the traditional supermarkets with the new technology they've employed, the self-service checkouts, the handheld scanners, etc.? Is this a good thing, or is it putting people off?
I hate going into a shop and having to do everything myself. You go in and you have to self-select, and you have to you get to the checkout and you have to do that. And I always get it wrong. I don't know. You put something, an unexpected item, in the bagging area. What? It's a bag. I put my bag down in the bagging area. What's unexpected about? Anyway, so that's frustrating. I'm surprised they haven't started asking customers to unload vans at the back of the store.
Do you think the discounters might repeat the mistakes of the big four? Expand too quickly, diversify too much?
I think from a someone who shops occasionally in discounters, I think that you can see that the range is still quite easy and quite clean to shop. I think their communication and their signage is really easy still. I think their plan, as I understand it, is that they're going to concentrate on making their current locations a bit bigger. So in terms of, are they going to do what the big retailers have done? No. Then their plans, I don't think, are to go and build lots of huge stores that create shops in shops. What they're going to do is try and make the stores they've got more efficient, slightly bigger, to enhance the shopping experience, but they're not going to have all the on costs that the big retailers have had to take on board. And so therefore they'll be running a much smarter operation.
I think I read somewhere that Morrisons, according to analysts, need to actually close one in five of their stores that aren't turning over as much. And when you look at a number of locations where you've got a Morrisons opposite to Tesco, literally opposite, or you've got a Tesco Express one door down from a JS Local, and you think, well, surely by those two stores being there, you're halving the profitability of any operation for the retailer. So there will come a time where stores will inevitably have to close, where it's just not a profitable concern.
But that's got to be part of the big retailers' long-term strategy now, to sell off their large hypermarket sites and turn it into housing and make profit from the sale of them that way, so that they're saving money, but they're also ticking the box of providing more housing generally, for which is part of the country's plan. It's probably more profitable.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how should grocery brands be positioning themselves in this brave new world of retail?
That's the million-dollar question. I think part of it is listening to customers, trying to work out what it is that particular retailer can do that will be different. I like that Waitrose have tried to become a little bit more mainstream by simplifying their ranges. So they cut sort of on average 10 to 15% of the number of SKUs from every range in the store to free up space for gondola ends so they could actually do more promotions. And they launched Waitrose Essentials, which aren't necessarily the most price conscious of products, but it gives that perception of, you know, we are doing something to help with the everyday shop. But they haven't fundamentally changed the environment and what you get in there, and the fact that they have lots of staff in there on the tills, and you don't have to queue very long, and they have some really great products, and it does stand out as different to the other grocers.
I think it's interesting that we see more and more people doing their weekly shop in the discounters, but what the discounters doesn't offer is the breadth of brand range that the big four do offer, and that's a real strength that the big four still have, is that breadth of brands, and our customers will not give up on certain brands, so they will insist on their branded tomato ketchup or their branded mayonnaise or whatever that might be. And that's the point of difference that the big four have. So it's to focus in on that perhaps is an opportunity.
But to just think about that a different way is the people who have moved over already to shop in the discounters and have made that conscious decision that maybe brands a bit further down their decision-making process, They actually feel like they're really smart shoppers for getting themselves to a discounter. And they're kind of quite proud of the fact that they're okay not to buy their favourite brand tomato ketchup, because they know that they're really smart and they've saved some money. It sort of has a slight halo effect over the rest of their shopping experience in the discounters. And so then they'll be more daring and try, I don't know, a different pizza or a different orange juice. And before they know it, they just feel even more smart about themselves and the brands. The brand purchasing pattern that they had in the big retailers, they've sort of got over that. They've got over themselves.
Absolutely, for sure. And that's the repertoire that they're building and building all the time. What we saw in Ireland actually was that a lot of shoppers were nearly trying to avoid the supermarkets. So they do their weekly shop in the discounters and they pop into a convenience store for the brand that they love, just because one, they get it quickly, and two, they actually can avoid all the madness and promotions and get, you know, more promotions in the supermarkets. So they're managing the budget, doing the weekly shop in the discounters and buying their brands in a convenience store.
But doesn't that go back to your point as well, Ninjani, about the fact that people talk about the products that are really good, which then fuels the spiral of people Absolutely. Heading back into the discounters. So if someone tries something good and they're proud of it, they're trying to convert, it's a conversion game of their friends.
How do the e-tailers have an impact on the discounters? Is there one?
I think the discounters are starting to do online from what I read. So actually doing wine retailing, Aldi, which, you know, I suppose is a natural evolution of thinking about the shopper and how they're purchasing, and, you know, making another avenue available. I found it extraordinary that Morrisons only last year really sort of dived into the online water, and they've missed a massive trick in establishing themselves, whereas, you know, Tesco are so far ahead on that, and making it easy and convenient for shoppers to use. It's very hard to scrabble back market share online for Morrisons now, but with online for discounters, I can see them doing a very good job, again, keeping it simple and making it easier for shoppers to move over.
Changing tack slightly, with the recent news that Tesco's have been withholding payment from suppliers to increase profits, do you think this is just another example of how the big four are suffering?
I think a lot of the larger formats, retailers, established players, have been looking at headcount at head office over the last couple of years and making some changes, having to make some brutal decisions about, you know, how they operate. I think that's probably going to continue, that scrutiny, and with all those retailers looking at the discounters and worried about their losing market share as a result. And with the price discounting, they're losing profitability as well.
So it seems like a win-win situation for the discounters. The big four are struggling.
Big four retailers have taken their eye off the ball and, with their huge beast of a machine, are not able to turn quick enough and keep their eye on the discounters and actually change their way of working. They've still got really big online shopping commitments. They've got big theatre and signage and range displays in store. And the discounters have done a really good job of smartening up their shops and their shopping experience, that you're going to go and try it at least once. And if you find things in there that you like, that it'll be a good pull to go back. But the bigger retailers are just not quick enough to respond.
The problem is the bigger retailers are trying to be everything to everybody. And actually what the discounters have demonstrated is that with a small range, a simplistic range and a simple shopping experience, they can fulfil as good a need as any, really.
I think part of it is just it's the natural evolution of the shopping landscape. 20 years ago when Lidl first came, it seemed extraordinary to think that, you know, between the two German giants, that they'll have 10% of the market. That's just how it's happened. I think it took massive advantage of the retailers, you say, the big four fighting amongst themselves, but also in the last recession of shoppers, you know, challenging their habits and what they do.
And the turnover of the discounters is set to double in the next few years, which is absolutely incredible. And another area where discounters have been stronger than the big four retailers is that they've not passed on the price fluctuations that have been going on in the supplier side to customers. They're much more steady about their pricing. So I was thinking it's actually not dissimilar to the oil market, where the oil price changes, but that's not reflected in prices on the forecourt for quite a while afterwards. And actually, we're an incredibly reactive country with regards to retail prices changing in conjunction with the price of meat or the price of vegetables or the crop or the butter mountain. And actually, the discounters are much smarter at holding their own for longer and not passing that on to the customer. So the customer's a lot more believing of the way they conduct business and how authentic they are and how true to being a good discounter.
So where will it end? Discounters having 90% share? I mean, there are some markets in Europe where it's 50 or more percent.
Yes.
Because it's been well established and the shoppers for years have been used to, you know, hunting out bargains and being proud of finding cheaper things. You know, I found this cheaper than you, rather than I've paid a lot of money for my purchases, which seems really weird when you say it like that. But that, you know, what's the end?
It's a really good question, isn't it? Because there's such a broad demographic map in our country that there will always be a role for more premium products as well. And it's where the fine line is between market share in growing in the discount sector and growing, you know, being maintained in the top four retailers.
I think in Ireland we've seen the share of the discounters has risen now to 16%, and they continue to be the fastest growing retailers continuously on an ongoing basis. So I think as we recruit more people in, as people, you know, continue to do their weekly shops and build on that, I think the share will continue to grow.
That's all we have time for on this first Big River Solutions podcast. My thanks to the panel, Rebecca Ross, Simon Spicer and Jenny Monroe. And if you want to find out more, please visit bigriversolutions.com. This has been a TDC production. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams, and we'll be revisiting some of these topics next time. I do hope you can join us.